Welcome to Sunday Sermons and other recordings from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, California. Please visit our website at www.uudavis.org for further information.
Minister for Congregational Life.
And I am Beth Banks, a senior minister for this congregation.
We come to this sanctuary to celebrate the beauty of the earth and to be in community. This congregation comforts us when we know loss and celebrates our best dreams. We bring our differences, and together we offer a fuller truth than any one point of view. The holy is experienced here in many ways and is given many names. People of all sexual orientations and gender identities are celebrated. We welcome diverse political opinions, races, classes, and physical abilities. We have much to learn from each other. Whether because of the touch of a friend, the words and music, or a moment of silence, may you feel more alive.
So, to acknowledge all that is being held by the people in this room, we light one pillar candle for the sorrows of the world, for the moments that weigh heavy on our hearts. And we light one pillar candle for the joys of the world, for the moments of hope, the moments of celebration that also exist in our lives. Now let us center ourselves through music.
And I'd like to invite our great and mighty stewardship coordinator, Sharon Hale, to come forward and light the chalice. The flaming chalice is a symbol of Unitarian Universalism that calls us into community. We gather today to hear the call of trust. Even though promises have been broken, even though the betrayals still sting, even though we're unsure about believing in ourselves, like this flame, trust is something that needs rekindled again and again. May today lead us back to believing again.
Sometimes it's important to single out specific voices, I think. So in front of me, there are some amazing painted stones. And I want to give some thanks. I want to make sure I don't leave out one person. So Liz and Joe King were instrumental in this. They're here today, going to the rock yard at Ace Hardware and pulling out 250 stones that looked like they might need some art. And then they were delivered to Cyrus Crawford. Is Cyrus here? Okay, he's over there. And I think the whole Crawford family was involved. Carol Green, where are you? Thank you very much. Liz King, again, was an artist. And Lainey Pickett is in the back. And Alana, her daughter was there. And Aslan Murray, who is a part of our program. And I did some, too. So here is what we're talking about today, is giving and generosity. So there are five people in this congregation who agreed, maybe 6 months ago, 8 months ago, to be a part of a team to study generosity with a total of 10 congregations. And we'll be going to Phoenix 2 weekends from now to meet with those other congregations to share what we are learning about generosity. So you'll hear from some of those people later on today. When we give to somebody else, there's a bond, there's a connection that's created. And of course, the more we think about that gift, the more we try to make it just right, the stronger that bond is. But no matter what, you create a bond with somebody when you give something to them and they give something to you. Sometimes it doesn't work out just right, and we all have those stories. But what's important is that we give to each other in so many ways, and sometimes things, sometimes not things. But the connections, that's what's important. So today, these gifts are right behind me. Were created by people who, well, they don't know a lot of people in this congregation. And they thought, well, maybe this gift that I'm creating will go to someone I know and I really like. And maybe it'll go to someone I don't know at all. So they are connecting with you, whether they know you or not. And it was done intentionally that way. And in the process, they got to know each other, too. They visited each other's garage to paint with them there, went to each other's kitchen to paint with them there and hear stories as you're, you know, how you're working on something and you tell your stories. And so there were connections that happened in the process of creating these gifts. So the ushers are going to help out, and maybe some other people, too, to take these stones. And each one is different. There are no two that are the same. And we want you to choose one, just one, that you like a lot. We have allocated some time in the service for you to choose. You don't have to just pick right away. But neither do you get to look at all 250. So if the ushers would come forward and give us a hand with this, and you will be asked to pick one stone that sort of speaks to you. And there are animal pictures and swirls and words of inspiration. There is a penguin in here. There's a cat sitting on a fence in there. There are so many images. And so while those things are being passed out, we will sing. Does everyone have a stone? Yes, yes, yes. And then we'll take the ones that aren't used and they can come down front. We have one more service tonight to use them, so. The ushers are now making their own selections, I think. There's some back and forth. So, does everyone have something lovely? Yes, yes. So you can imagine people creating this, you know, over this past week and thinking, they knew exactly what it was going to be used for, so they were thinking of you in the largest sense, and maybe someone in particular. So I want to invite you to take that stone, to give it some warmth, and to hold it in your hand. And to think about why it is lovely to you. What is precious about it, whether it's a design, or the color, or a word, or an image, or imagining someone's connection to you. And hold it and feel that it gains the warmth of your body. And breathe 3 times, like a magic number. And know that you are held in beauty by this congregation. One of the things that we've learned by interviewing members of our congregation for stewardship is that the song that we sing to children and youth, we are also singing to ourselves, and that it has become a favorite song and favorite lyrics. The children and youth will be heading to their groups, and Matt will be at the door to collect their stones, and they will be given those stones at the end of their group time. Morgan felt that they would be treasured much more at that moment. And we're invited to sing them to their groups. One more time. May your mind be open Kate is the keeper of the rocks.
Good morning, everyone. I have the honor of talking about the gifts that we give to each other. So I give you a gift, you give me a gift. And one thing about that whole process of gift giving is it's a way to strengthen bonds. Sometimes it can also be a way to test bonds. I had an experience with this not that long ago, for my 15th wedding anniversary. And my husband doesn't actually know that I'm telling this story this morning. So this is really fun right now. So we established a tradition for our first anniversary where we started to give each other gifts that were based on the traditional materials. You all know that, you know, paper is the first year, and I can't remember all the other ones. Over the years, we've kind of been fluid with it. You know, sometimes we've done shared couple gifts. We're not going to actually give each other individual gifts. We're going to go on a trip or do something like that. And we've always kept it fairly flexible because that sort of works with my nature. And last year was our 15th wedding anniversary. And so I dutifully checked the internet to see what the traditional material was. And there wasn't really much guidance on the traditional material. The modern gift, according to the sites I went to, was to give a watch. Now, I already had a watch, and then my husband isn't somebody who really needs watches in his daily life or wears watches in his daily life. So I kind of made an executive decision, you know, that I would just not get him a watch, because why would he want a watch? And well, we'll just figure it out. And he's probably not getting me a watch because he knows I don't really need a watch, and just sort of left it at that. And so the morning of our anniversary, I come downstairs for breakfast, and there's a really beautiful box sitting on the table. And it's really beautiful, and it has a bow and all that. And I open it up, and inside is an incredibly beautiful, thoughtful, delicate, amazing watch that has a hummingbird on its face made out of enamel, and the hummingbird wings move in time. It's got a turquoise band. It's a designer brand. It's just really an exquisite object. And I, of course, am on an emotional level both unbelievably honored and thrilled to receive this, and also feeling like a complete heel because I don't have a gift to reciprocate to my husband on our 15th wedding anniversary. So in that moment, there was the receiving of a beautiful gift coupled with the disappointment in myself and the, who knows what he was thinking, disappointment in me, or more just maybe affirmation of the bond that we share. So I had to really sit with that over the course of the next few weeks and figure out how to make it right. How do I repair this situation that's occurred? And thank goodness I did have received some divine inspiration to look for a watch that was made by the Elgin Watch Company, which is where my husband's family came from, Elgin, Illinois, and had people who had worked there back in the 40s and 50s. And so I was able to find a really beautiful vintage watch and order it for him. And it was a good 2 or 3 months later, I want to say, that I was actually able to present him with an appropriate reciprocal gift. And over the course of that time, I don't think there was a lot of sulking, but there was kind of an understanding that the balance of the gift-giving process between us two was out of whack. And I think that, you know, for all of us that are in long-term relationships, we know that that's an inherent part of the relationship, and the relationship journey is you oscillate, and sometimes you are out of whack in terms of how you're reciprocating with each other. But eventually, you do restore balance, and we were able to restore balance through our gifting process. Thank you.
So Amy is also one of the people who is a part of that generosity team, who will be going to Phoenix and studying more about generosity. So now you have some of the faces of people who will be traveling on our behalf. So one kind of giving is when we give face-to-face to one other person and we know them, and we are giving them something precious. So I'm going to ask you to give your stone to somebody else, but not to someone right next to you, just in case it is someone in your household, because this needs to travel outside your household. So please give your gift to someone who is not right next to you, but should receive something lovely. All right, it's time to come back with your stones that are beautifully created. And now it's very likely that you have a stone from a different artist in this church. So everyone had very different ideas and skills. I want you to hold it again and admire whatever beauty you see in this stone that maybe you didn't get to see before or maybe didn't choose. And I want you to hold it. And this came, again, from someone who didn't know who was going to receive this. And it's passed through another person's hands to you. And to accept that you are now a line of givers and receivers in what you have in your hand. So my job is to talk about a different kind of giving. And I'll use this as one example. So this was something of my mother's. And when she passed about 11 years ago, all of her daughters, all three of us, went to distribute her belongings. And if you have done that, it's really a bittersweet process. And when we looked at her jewelry box, we had to decide. And sometimes I literally drew straws for some things, you know, because everybody liked something and we all had memories about it. I didn't choose this. My sister did. And so when my sister passed a few months ago, right before New Year's, my niece and I sat with her jewelry box. And this was there. And my niece, she said, "I don't ever wear gold chains." And I said, "I know where that came from. And I will take it." So I come before you this morning wearing something that has come down a line. But the thing is that it's not going to stay with me. Because I have already texted, because this is how I communicate with some members of my family, she's not a blood relative, but she's someone who sat with my sister in the night shift. Because my sister had sat with her husband when he was 40, and as he passed. So think about all of this giving that has happened in a line. So I texted Rebecca and said, "I have something for you. And it's from Phyllis. And I think if you would like it, I would like to pass it on to you." And this is the line of that story. And there are other things, and I would like to be with you as you look at them and choose. Because you are like a daughter in this family. And that will happen very soon. So there's a kind of giving, and sometimes it's not things. Sometimes it's love or something else, you know, that you can't hold in your hands. That you really don't know where it's going to go. That you are just holding it for a while. And maybe it's for 10 years, maybe it's longer. But it is on its way someplace else. Because if gifts and things stay with one person, then they lose their life. It's only when we know and understand that things pass through us and go on to others, that they have life and energy, and they collect the memories and do good in the world. And I want to say that this is what we're studying as we're looking at generosity as the five of us who are going to be going, look at and try to understand generosity. What is it that creates a community? How can we give to each other in ways that, well, does what this does in so many ways for us? So look at your stone and say goodbye. Because I know it's hard sometimes, and this is the truth. Sometimes you have to be ready, but I'm kind of forcing the issue. It's true. So now I want you to look for someone you do not know here. Maybe you know their name, maybe you don't, and give them your stone. And you, I would encourage you, we've allowed for some time for this. Go and find somebody right now and give them. If you can come back to your seats, I always think this would be like an extended time of welcome in the congregation, what that might be like. So before I leave this, there's one more idea that came out of this particular article we were reading, and that was, there are many levels of connection, and one is on this level. And we learned that as people, I'm going to say mature, but it's not just in years. Sometimes it's just in a sense of belonging in the world. There is a desire to give to nature and to receive from nature, a sense of connection. And for some, in many cultures, there is a sense of connection to deity, to the sacred, whatever people understand that to be. And then receiving from that God, deity, overarching love, call it what you will. And so that too is a part of generosity and how we give and receive. I hope that you have ended up with a stone that brings you pleasure or whimsy or a sense of love, and to know that you are connected through this stone to at least, I'm going to guess, five people in this congregation, because some of us worked on several stages of the creation of the art. You are connected. Amen. Thank you for participating in that sermon.
Friends, let us gather together in a time of reflection and grounding. Some call prayer, others call meditation. Please move into a position of comfort and grounding. Soften your gaze or close your eyes. Slow your breath. This time is now. Spirit of love, life, and justice, you who go by many names, including stone catcher and chain breaker, sustainer and provider, we welcome your presence. We breathe in your divinity, and we breathe out love. We give thanks for this time together, this time to worship with our chosen community in our living tradition. We give thanks for the rain and the snow and now the sun, for the stones, for the little pieces of earth we hold in our hands. For the blue water and brown earth and green buds yet to burst. For the promise of spring we trust will come. We give thanks for perfectly imperfect gifts. For moments of grace and forgiveness, of generosity and graciousness. We hold up those who suffer, those who struggle with peace, and those who struggle with health. May they be held in love. May they know comfort and peace. We give thanks for our elders and our youth, our ancestors and our descendants, for the ways they teach us and guide us. We especially welcome Zoe, Barbara and Betty's granddaughter, who was just born this weekend. Zoe, may you know that you are already so loved. Zoe, you are born a new redeemer for this world. May we grow alongside you. And we recognize the surprising ways that love and family can come into our world, especially as Karen Klusendorf and Bill Kurth celebrated their wedding this Saturday. Blessings on their home and the way that their love blesses the world. Friends, let us breathe into this space together. Let us name our own prayers, either out loud or in the silent sanctuaries of our hearts. May our prayers be heard by the one who hears all. For all these prayers, for the people, places, and events that weave us together in a tapestry of love we call community, we say, Amen, blessed be, and Ashe.
So as the choir is returning to their seats, Matt Silke is also from our generosity team, who will be traveling to Phoenix. And other members of that team are Carol Corbett, Sarah Keith, and Alex Hader Winnett, who will not be traveling with us, but who has been studying with us. And thank you for these gifts that go to the community, and really, that's an example of that circular giving.
Thank you, Beth. I did grow up going to church, but try not to let it slip outside of this room. It was not a Unitarian church. It was a different breed of religion. And after high school, it was a significant number of years before I attended service again. And as so often happens, it was the birth of our oldest son that made me decide to reevaluate religion, services, church. And so I attended a number of services, including this church. And I've shared this with Beth and others, but one of the things that made me experience some connection, and there was a number of things, of course, but one of them was a remark during one of Beth's services about how we think about resources and money. And it's not we don't have enough, it's how we choose to allocate our resources that is informs so much of the thinking. And that really resonated with me. And it's not just financial resources. It's time spent in service, out budgeting between music and words and giving rocks and stones. And it's time spent deliberating with care and love and sometimes straws about how to distribute the belongings of loved ones and give gifts to loved ones. And our church does the same thing. We allocate resources, and I think we do an amazing job allocating these resources. And one of the things we focus on is exploration. And so as I think about exploration, how have I explored? How do we explore as a church? And I'll take some of the low-hanging fruit with religious education and exploration because it has exploration in its name, so it seems appropriate. Through work in the Bridge House and with the mugs, personally exploring in preparation for talking to the kids about the lesson, how to communicate my beliefs, how they've impacted my life, so we can have a meaningful discussion with a variety of age ranges. I'm receiving resources from the church to work with different organizations, like Make-A-Wish, where many families, the Rangies and myself and Stratton Quirks, went to the Make-A-Wish Center to talk to the workers and see the wishing well and how they give back generously to children suffering from some potentially life-threatening issues. Adult religious education experiences as well. Many members of the church have participated in the mystery dinners and tasted theologies and enjoyed the fruits of food along with morsels of exploration and learning in that way. The 8 worship associates we have this year received generosity from the congregation to go on retreat and learn how to give back, how to explore themselves and how to give back that exploration every Sunday to our church. The 9 members of our church that went to Mexico working with the university to learn more about border issues and explore that aspect. The music that goes on choir retreats and enhances the exploration. And, of course, what I think of sometimes as the invisible aids that allow us all to explore in church. It's whether it's groundskeeping or whether it's the AV service services that enhance or the printing of a bulletin that I don't consciously think about on Sundays, but they all enhance my ability and all of our ability to explore. When I pledge, I think about certainly the outcomes that I experience in exploration that I know about. But I know that I'm also pledging to things that I don't know where they're going. And that's part of the mystery. However, I do know that I trust the allocation of the resources of this church. I know that they are going to enable learning and caring and exploration. Now, I do have one assignment for as many of you as are willing, which is on the after service outside, we have green cards where you are invited to share something about how you've explored in the church. And we'll pin that up on the wall, and we're collecting these different themes. And it'll be, I think, really thrilling to see the different ways that we all explore in services and outside of services. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. And so last week, those cards were for how we experience caring, and those cards are out there too. And this time, how are we exploring and learning, each one of us, in some way while we're here? Morgan will say the words. I will do my part.
As we come to the end of our service, we extinguish our pillar candles that have held the sorrows and the joys in this space, knowing that being held and being seen is a powerful piece of community. And we extinguish the flame of our chalice, knowing that that light is in each of us until we come together again.
As we transition from clapping hands to holding hands, I'd like to remind you that the stewardship team has a table out there for your pledge cards, and if you have questions about your pledge cards. And I'd also like to remind you that the Uniting for Racial Justice will begin their Blue Box program in the Sanghaus room immediately after the service. And I'd like to share these words by Gina Valdez, as translated by Catherine Callan King. There are many borders that divide people, but for every border, there is also a bridge. So let's let the stones we have gathered here today be stones that create bridges and represent possibilities of connection. And let this congregation say amen.
Amen.